Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're learning Iyov Perek Yodale, the 14th chapter of the book of Job, of Iyov. And this is the third of three parts of Iyov's speech as a rejoinder to Tsofer. Remember, Iyov has three friends who have interacted with him so far: Eliphaz, and then we had Bildad, and now Tsofer. Iyov has a three Perek response to Tsofer. We've looked at the first two parts of that in Perek Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Dalet is the third and last part. Today, the topic is really essentially life after death. This is one of the things that Iyov does not believe in, and that's going to form the basis and foundation for a lot of the arguments we're about to learn about today. There are 22 psukim in total in this Perek, and there's essentially four main points that he makes. The first point is grouped into psukim Aleph to Vav, the first six psukim, in which he makes the following points. He says, look, a human being is frail. Frail because they're born of flesh, and they are limited in lifespan. Yilud isha, ketzar yomim, besova roiges. Human beings aren't very long-lasting. And therefore, he says, so the image he gives is of a tree blossoming, where especially in the springtime, you see a beautiful, beautiful tree blossoms magnificently, and then the blossoms fall off after one or two good rainstorms. That's what he says as a human being. A human being comes to life, looks blossomingly wonderful in their young 20s and maybe early 30s, has children, and then afterwards, you know, the blossoms fall off. Life gets a little more complicated. And he says, in fact, that therefore, why is it? So why is it that you're being so judgmental? Why is it you're being so stringent upon such a withering, such a lowly, such a transient being as a human being? Why can't you just give him in his limited time, give him the space to obey your regulations, do his mitzvahs, and give some respite? The way he says it in Pasuk, Vav is the plea, She'eme Olav Yechdal. Take away and just give him a little space. Ad yirtzeke sachir yomoy, until he can get what he needs, like a sachir, like a paid worker, like a person who is employed. The Al-Sheikh expands on this in his Pirush called Chelkas Mechakek over here on Iyov, and he explains that the idea over here is look, we have no guarantees about the future, as he's about to explain, and therefore, you know what the rule is that you want to give your sachir, your worker, the money before the end of the day. The end of the day is death. So give now, during this span of the world, give the worker enough time to do his work and get paid for his work. But don't punish and don't stop him from doing his work and then hurt him and not give him any recompense or remuneration within the confines of this world at the end of the day. That's what Yov argues. Take it one step further now, Yov makes his second point. His second point runs from Psukim Zion to Yud Beis. In this, he responds directly to the idea of Tsofer. Tsofer argued that the real reward isn't in this world. The real reward is in the world to come, after death, Olam Haba. So Iyov uses the image of a tree, and he says, look, when you have a tree that's broken, it's cut off, it can be resurrected. Examples being, is let's say you cut off a branch of a healthy tree and replant it in the ground elsewhere. It can grow. Let's say you have an old tree which is shriveled, it's rotting, and you add enough water, it can regrow too. He says a human being doesn't do that. Where's the human being going to be? Where is he constituted? He's not like the same biological material as the flora. Cannot be brought back. You can pour the entire ocean over the dead body, and the dead body will not be resurrected. Then in the end of the day, v'ish shachav v'lo yakum, the person will die and not return, says Iyov. Therefore, he is not loya eromir shenosam. No one's going to wake up from their sleep. It's a different biological material. When you put a seed into the ground, it decomposes and then ultimately yields new life. That's not how the human being is. Never seen it, never heard of it. Therefore, it can't be, says Iyov. Point three, he moves on to in Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Zion. This is, therefore, he says, so how does it make sense that there's some sort of future time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to now answer the human being and pay back the rewards? I don't understand. How can it be such a contrast to this world, he says? In this world, I am calling out to Hashem and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no one is answering me. But then in the future is going to be this time when you're going to give me all the reward, you're going to explain everything, you're going to answer everything. I don't understand. How does it match up? In this world, you're preemptively punishing me for what's going to happen. You're counting every step that I'm taking. You're treating me in such a harsh manner. So how does it change over there in the future? What's going to be the difference? I don't understand. The two don't match each other. And finally, his fourth and final point in this perek is Psukim Yud Ches, to the end, Chof Beis, where he points out that in matter, there's usually a cycle of matter. There's a conservation of matter principle. That means to say that when a mountain crumbles, it will now form the foundation of a new valley or a new mountain that will grow. And we know mountains do grow. If a rock crumbles to dust, it will be part of the same ecosystem. We understand there is a way it works. There is a way that life forms and reforms. Forgive me, says Eov. That's not the way it works with a human being. In the end of the day, it's with a person. The children will honor a person after their passing. And you know what? They're not even going to know about it. They're dead. Other people will be pained over the death. No, they won't know about it. They're dead. Only he will feel the pain of his death as he biodegrades. Just to put things into perspective, as the Gemara has pointed out very clearly, Eov does not believe in resurrection of the dead. It's not one of the axioms of his faith, which is perhaps one of the aspects, which is the struggling point, part of the struggling matters between he and his friends in this conversation, which goes backwards and forwards. And that is because Eov isn't Jewish. He is trying to deduce all of this from, he's trying to induce this from what the life around him, which he sees. He does not have the Torah. And he's not able to induce this. He's not able to find this principle. It is interesting to note that the last two psukim about how the dead people relate and react to what's going on in this world is actually a matter of fascinating dispute, which is found on Brachos Yud Ches Amud Beis 18b. In that area, the Gemara describes a very fascinating debate which ensues between Bnei Rabbi Chiya. They described that they said that when a person dies, does the dead know what's going on in life or not? And they said, well, it depends on the Pasuk and Eov. If you take the penultimate Pasuk Chof Aleph, it says, Yichbudu bono v'lo yada. The children will honor a person after death and they won't know, implying that the dead do not know what's going on in life. However, the next Pasuk says, Ach besoroya lov yichav, that the person will experience pain as they biodegrade. So it implies that they do experience something after death. So there seems to be contradictory principles over here in Eov. And there are, whether there could be a way of resolving it, is it could be their own pain they understand, but what else is going on in the world. And there's a very fascinating story which was told in the Gemara. There's a story about a person whose wife got angry with him and he went to the cemetery, and when he was there on the night of Rosh Hashanah, he heard two spirits talking with one another. The one spirit said, let's go and travel around the world. The one spirit said, I can't because I'm trapped in a machatzele shalkanim. I'm trapped in some sort of capsule of sorts. And the other one went around and said, you know, the rain cycles are going to be such that anybody who plants during such and such a time will lose all their crops. And the man plants early, misses that time, and all his crops survive. The next year he goes back to the graveyard and hears the same voices. And this time they say that there's going to be some sort of plague. And if they plant at such and such a time, the plague will consume it. And again, he is able to avoid it because he knows the right time. At a certain point, his wife says to him, so what's going on? Why are you Mr. Clever and everybody else's crops are suffering every year and you seem to be always on the right side? So he says, well, you know, that time I was in the cemetery, I heard these two spirits talking, and this is what happened. So the secret was good until one time the missus was having a fight with the maidservant in the house, who happened to be the mother of that daughter or related to that dead girl in the graveyard, and said, ah, he says, well, your relative is buried in a machatzel shalkanim. And she, in some sort of argument, came out that she knew this. And the next year when the man went, he went to the graveyard and he heard the voices, and they said, no, we're not going to talk now because the chayim, the live ones, know about our conversations, which implies there is a discussion. The Gemara debates as to whether they know or not, and brings various many proofs as to it. Where's the starting point of this conversation? Is Eov's description. Do the dead know? Do the dead not know? Which means that even Eov, who says that believes that there's no tchias ameisim, believes that there's some sort of omniscience, some sort of knowledge to a certain degree that the dead do have based on the last pasuk. Very fascinating debate. Again, something which unfortunately Eov is not informed of necessarily from the Torah, but from his own personal deductions, which is what leads him to some of the dead ends that he arrives at. In the meantime, this ends Eov's speech now, and now we're going to get into the second round of speeches where Eliphaz brings in his second speech. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.